My name is Kimberly Malusis. I am the honored mother of this amazing young lady, Leah. Also Carissa, who you probably know. Christopher, who not here, a little bummer. And the most amazing six-month-old son in the world, his name is Jonathan. And I'm here to talk to you about probably one of the most important things, that you will ever have to think about. And I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on today, because I do want you to think. I think as Christians, we have to be the best thinkers in the world. And I'm asking you to pay attention, because actually I'm coming back in a month from now, and I really actually will be asking you questions about today, and you will have a chance to win. And you really will have a chance to win. I guarantee it. There will be at least two people walking away with prizes next time. Okay. So the question that I want to talk to you about today is a question that, like I said, is probably the most important question that you will ever be faced with in your entire life. It's a question that's been asked all through the ages, and it's a question that we had recorded 2,000 years ago. It was recorded by a man named Pontius Pilate. Now, you might remember the context. We have Jesus. He's just about to be sentenced, and we have Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate has been warned in a dream by his wife, "Don't have anything to do with this man because I had a bad dream. And I suffered greatly in my dream because of him." And yet, he's trying to please the people. So he's out there pleading with the people, "Do you want me to release to you this Jesus?" Because he had the ability to release one of the prisoners. And they said, no, we don't want that man released to us. And he said, "But isn't he your king?" And they said, "No, we have no king but Caesar," which is quite offensive considering that as Jews, who should have been their king? You wish. Josiah was a king under the true king. Who was the true king? God. God was their true king. And yet they rejected that when they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And so they say to him, "No, we don't want Jesus released to us." And this is the passage that you find in Matthew chapter 18. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate asks the question. He asks this question, like I said, that's probably the most important question that you will ever ask in your life. What is truth? Now think about it. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Jesus. Jesus just finished saying that he came to testify to the truth. The reason he was born was to testify to the truth. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who does he say that he is? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Pilate asks the most important question of the person who has the only answer, who is himself the truth. But instead of listening for an answer, he walks away and he commits the greatest sin in the history of the world. He crucifies, he's sentenced to death, Jesus, the Son of God. So I think this issue of truth is really important, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. My remote is only somewhat powerful here. The reason I think that I want to spend a lot of time talking to you about this, and I'm coming twice to talk about it, the next time we'll have a little bit of a different focus, but it's because our society is very confused about this issue of truth. Our society is constantly throwing messages of truth out, and they're constantly confusing the whole concept of truth. And everybody is making their truth claim. Let's take a little look at some of the things that you might see on an average day. Who here's ever sang the song, "All I Need Is You, Lord"? Right? "All I Need Is Jesus." Did you know that's wrong? I always thought it was "All I Need Is Jesus." It's "All I need is cheese." Did you know that? "All you need is cheese." You thought it was Jesus. You thought it was God. It's actually cheese. So all you need is cheese. That's what the poster tells us. What else? It's all about you. You might see that. Isn't that a lovely message for us self-centered people to get? It's all about you. Anybody here ever watch Sesame Street? Like, is that even on TV anymore? Yeah. I grew up watching Sesame Street. That's what I lived off of. And one of the songs that still sticks in my head to this day is, the most important person in the world is you. It's you and you hardly even know you. Okay, I'll spare you. But the idea is that the most important person in the world is me. Ah, I grew up thinking that. Isn't that wonderful? Because then all I have to do is please me, and I've done the most important task in the world. It's all about you. What other messages might you see? I put the little red boxes there. I think you can figure out why. Make it a Valentine's Day he'll never forget. Shop this sexy selection for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is supposed to be a celebration of love. What is this defining love as? What is it defining a woman as? Something to think about. For us younger girls, got to paint every nail a different color. This is from Licenza Girl. This is one of their ads. I didn't know that. I've been doing it wrong all these years. I always paint my nails the same color, but we're supposed to paint them all different colors. Who knew? Or how about this one? For all you guys out there. You want to smell like a man? You got to smell like Old Spice. Like all the rest of you, you might smell like a girl man. You might smell like a boy man. You might smell like a dog man, but you don't smell like a man unless you're wearing Old Spice. Do you want to be a man? There you go. What the heck is a man? I guess that's a man. You got to ride a horse and go bare-chested and wear Old Spice, and then you're a man. But we don't just get our messages from advertising. We get our messages from lots of places. Like, how about magazines? Real women have curves. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a stick. So either that makes me imaginary, or fake, or worse, a man. But I'm not a real woman because I don't have curves. Not too many of them anyway. So we get messages from magazines. We can also get messages from the news. I don't know if you saw this recently, but men are more likely to cheat on wives because of bad economy. Isn't that a great excuse for all those guys out there that want to go sow some wild oats? It's because it's a bad economy. And if you read the article, you understand that it's because men are more likely to pursue short-term mating strategies when they're faced with a threatening environment. And that's because of our evolutionary nature, you know, because we have to make sure that, you know, survival of the fittest, that we continue on. So there's another truth claim. Good reason for guys to, I guess, to say, honey, it wasn't me, it was because I lost my job. How about songs? Let's take a look at this song. You know this song? Born This Way, Lady Gaga, right? Yeah, boo, hiss. Well, let's just take a look at some of the truth claims that she makes in the song. It doesn't matter if you love him, being your boyfriend, or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, because baby, you're born this way. So it doesn't really matter what your faith is in, or whether you love God, or whether you love your boyfriend. There's no right or wrong. Let's take a look at the next little piece. A different lover is not a sin. So it's okay to sleep around. It's okay to have all kinds of lovers, I suppose. And then the next thing I find particularly confusing, believe, capital H-I-M. Well, we already been told that it doesn't matter whether we believe in him or not, but now we're being told that we have to believe, capital H-I-M. And somehow that is supposed to be the reason for why a different lover is not a sin. Go figure that. Take a look at the next little piece. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. So sexual orientation, not a big deal. It's just how you're born. All of these are truth claims, and we're faced with them all every single day. How about being faced with a truth claim in our friends? Here's from a college student. If two people came together and one person said that there is a God, and one person said that there isn't a God, they could both be right at the same time. Think about that for a second. You see, we're being faced with truth claims all the time. I'm going to show you a quick video. The beginning of it's a little corny, but just hang on.
And we approve this message.
Freedom till you vomit it. I'm still alive, I don't care.
So every day we're faced with these truth claims. The lies of Satan claiming to be truth and the truth of God. And we have to make choices every single day about what we're going to believe. So this question, what is truth, is the most important question that you will ask and the most important answer you will ever get. Because what you believe is what you are. What you believe is what you live. I just watched last Friday a movie called Nefarious. Anybody seen it? Very, very hard movie to watch. It's about the global sex trade. And to me, the thing that stood out more than anything out of that movie, I had an idea of the pervasity of this issue of human trafficking, people being sold into slavery for sexual purposes, mostly. But I think the thing that stood out to me most after I watched that video was the horrifying way that these slaves are kept enslaved. Used to be, you know, in the days of working in the cotton fields and so on, that the slaves would have literal chains on them. They don't do that anymore. They can't do that, not in the nature of their work. So they use another method, they use another way of binding, and the way that they use is mental reconditioning. They fill these girls, and sometimes young boys, with so many lies about their worthlessness, about their inability to have any escape, about no hope, nobody caring for them, that they believe it. And the really scary thing is that 95% of the people who are delivered from that lifestyle go back to it because their minds have not been reprogrammed, and so they're still believing the lie. And they put themselves back into that same enslavement because they've never been set free by the truth. And that's why when we're praying for them, we have to pray that God's light and truth will shine upon these young men and young women who are enslaved, and also their enslavers, because the enslavers are just as much enslaved as the ones who are having to do the work. And every day, we go around, and all of these messages are coming at us, so we need to know, how do we discern what is true? I'm going to tell you a quick story while this is loading up again, but I was in the shopping mall about a year and a half ago, and I had just finished working out, and the way that my gym is there's a gym attached to the shopping center, so I was doing my grocery shopping after working out, and I had all my workout clothes on. I was just going to pick up a few things. And I noticed that some people were kind of looking at me funny. They were kind of giving me like a funny look. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me that I think I had done the same thing that I did the week before, which is that I put my workout pants on inside out. Because I run quickly to the workout place, usually without any time to look at myself in the mirror, and my pants inside out. And you can tell when my workout pants are inside out because of the, you know, the things that on the sides, the seams, and there's also like a little thing that's in the middle of, you know, the pants. And anyway, so it's quite embarrassing. And I had done it the week before. And so as these people are giving me a funny look, and they're all kind of looking, you know, in that area, I'm thinking, oh, no, I did it again. So I just want to get to the cash out. I just want to get out of that place. And I'm at the cash register, kind of trying to maneuver myself, you know, to put my cart in front of me to kind of block me so that nobody can actually see the fact that my pants are inside out. I get to the cash, and the guy that's in front of me keeps looking at me, and it's like, will you just, like, I was just, it would just put me over. I was like, stop, you know, I just have to get out of here. So finally, I cash out, I get downstairs, and I literally take my shopping cart and I run as fast as I can to where my van was. I left my groceries, went inside my van to put my pants on the right way around, only to find out they were not inside out. They were not inside out. And yet, because I believed it, it completely changed how I acted. And I went into the van, and I said to God, God, what was all that about? Why did I go through that? And he said to me, you are what you think. You live what you think. What you think is very important. So let's go back to the first questions that we started with. We had two questions. And the first one, is it stalling on that end? Because it's stalling on my end. There we go. First question was, how many chocolates are in the jar? Now, if I were to go around and I were to ask everybody how many chocolates are in the jar and I was to allow you to count them, we would all come up with what answer? 69. We can all verify that. We can all agree, okay? What about the second question? If I were to go around and ask everybody, what is the best flavor of ice cream? What would I get in response? I wouldn't get the same answer. What would I get? Lots of different answers, right? Based on your personal preference. What do we call that kind of truth? Subjective, exactly. What do we call the first question kind of truth? Objective. So we have objective truth and we have subjective truth. And every day in our society, those two kinds of truths are confused. Lots of people want to put into the category of personal preference or relative or subjective, those things which actually are objective. So let's just spend some more time looking at this. If I were to go right now and I were to say, what do you think about the temperature in this room? One of you might say, it's hot in here. Then I ask somebody else, and they say, it's cold in here. Yeah. Let me ask you, can these both be true? Yeah. You say yes. Why? No, sorry, I don't, is it Amanda? Yeah, why can they both be true? Exactly, from another country, it feels cold in here. If you just come back from a workout, it might feel hot in here, okay? So they can both be true at the same time. What if I just say, well, we have a chance to go somewhere together as a group after our session here today. Where should we go? And one of you says, we should go to the mall. And then I ask another person, and they say, we should go to the movies. Can these both be true? It can both be true that we as a group should go to the mall and that we as a group should go to a movie. What's that? Can it happen at the same time? Can it both be true at the same time? It can be? Sorry? Okay, but if we had a chance to go shopping, let's say shopping in the mall versus going to a movie. Anybody have an input? Can they both be true at the same time? Well, we have to do something. And what could we do to decide which of these is more true? We could have a vote. Okay, so who wants to go to the mall, go shopping? Okay, who wants to go to the movies? Okay, so based on that survey, what can we say that we should do? We should go to the movies. Correct. So we can decide which is most true by doing a vote. Okay? Very good. Next question, math teacher. Math teacher says to Jonathan, I want you to go to the chalkboard and I want you to write the answer to this math question. What is 2 plus 2? Okay? As he's doing that, teacher says to Ernesto, Ernesto, I want you to go to the chalkboard and I want you to write the answer to this question, 2 plus 2. So teacher looks after they sit down and finds that Jonathan wrote 2 plus 2 equals 4. Then she looks and says, Ernesto says 2 plus 2 equals 5. Can these both be true? You say no so quickly. Why? So let me ask you a question. If they can't both be true, what should we do to determine which one is most true? Should we take a vote? Does it make sense to take a vote? No, it makes no sense to take a vote because it doesn't matter whether we vote that 2 plus 2 equals 5, it won't change the fact, the objective truth, that 2 plus 2 equals 4. And yet, we see both of these types of truth confused all the time in our society. We went back at the beginning, you saw the quote, if two people came together and one person said that God did exist and one person said that God didn't exist, they could both be right at the same time. What kind of truth is that person assuming the existence of God falls into? The second category. He's assuming it falls into No, he's assuming if it's objective, then they can't be both right at the same time. Subjective, exactly. He's assuming it's a subjective question. So I want you to consider the following statements, okay? And you got your thinking caps on? Because it requires a little bit of thought. But these are things that you're going to see in society all the time, okay? There is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. Anybody familiar with the Wiccan Church? Anybody familiar with Harry Potter? Right. Harry Potter is involved in witchcraft. That's a whole thing. There is actually such a thing as a church of witchcraft that's called the Wiccan Church. Okay? One of their statements of faith is there is no absolute truth. Okay? So just hang on to that for a second. Everything is relative. That's just another way of saying there is no absolute truth. What's true is what's true for you. So for me, God doesn't exist. For you, God exists. That's true for you, right? It's hot in here to me. It's cold in here for you. That's just what's true for you. I think it's Häagen-Dazs Mayan chocolate. You think it's mint chocolate chip. That's true for you, even if it's wrong. So the idea is that what's true is what's true for you. Do you know anything that's wrong with these statements? You would never fail a test. Wouldn't that be awesome? All you have to do is take this to your teacher and just say, teacher, you marked me wrong, but that's just what's wrong for you, because for me, that's right. Yeah? And that would all be okay, right? Because maybe it's wrong to some people, but for you, it's okay. So when the police come to arrest you and they say, you killed this person, just say, yeah, but killing's not wrong. And they say, yes, it is. We're going to arrest you. Just say, it's not wrong for me. That's right. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. So let's just all go jump off some buildings and I'll let you go first, see if it works for you. Uh-huh. You must have a smart mama. Now, what she said you couldn't hear. But she said, and you might not realize this, but you have to pay attention. What does the first statement say? There is no absolute truth. How many times do you think that they think that that is true? They're saying 100% of the time it is always true that there is no absolute truth. Do you not see a problem with that? Yes? Then that statement itself is not true if there is nothing true all the time, ever. So even that statement, there is no absolute truth, cannot exist if there is no absolute truth. Yes? I think you're getting to the same point. No matter how you look at it, whether you say everything is relative or whether you say there's no absolute truth, and either of those statements makes no sense. You cannot grasp a concept that there's no absolute truth, and that's always true, because that's an absolute truth statement in and of itself. Okay, so let's take a look at the next thing. Consider these questions. Sorry. Consider these questions. If no one believes the truth, does it cease to be the truth? So we go back to our math question, and we really don't know whether 2 plus 2 is 4 or whether 2 plus 2 is 5, but we take a vote, and we vote that 2 plus 2, on majority, we believe it's 5. Does that mean, in reality, that 2 plus 2 is no longer 4? No. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. There is a story that I heard about a kindergarten class, and the kindergarten class had just got a pet hamster. Whoever had a pet in their kindergarten class? I never had that. That would be so cool. You guys had that? Would you have? A hamster, would you have? Rabbits and birds. And you? A guinea pig. Okay, let's say that we had a hamster. So we have a kindergarten class with a hamster. Okay, you're going to pay attention because this is really funny. We have a kindergarten class with a hamster, and they're trying to figure out what to name it. So some people throw out, oh, we're going to call him Tony. Oh, and other people say, no, we're going to call her Sarah, you know. And they're trying to figure out what to name. And they realize, wait a minute, we can't name this hamster until we figure out whether the hamster's a boy and girl, boy or a girl, right? So they're trying to figure out, well, is it a boy or girl? And so the kindergarten class is trying to figure this out. And one person says, well, I think you tell by the length of its tail. So they're looking at the length of the tail. And they're like, no, that's not working. And then another one throws, well, you got to tell by the length of the ears. So they look at the length of the ears and they still weren't able to figure out whether it was a boy or a girl. And they go through various, you know, options that are being thrown out by the kindergarten class. And finally, one brilliant kindergarten student puts up his hand and says, I know, let's take a vote. So they voted. Now let's just say that they voted, and they voted that it was a girl. They voted that it was a girl because there was more girls in the class. And actually it was a boy. Does that hamster now become a girl? No, right? Just because they voted that it was a girl doesn't mean that it becomes a girl. Now let me ask you a question. Does absolute truth apply only to the physical realm, or does it apply to the moral realm as well? In other words, instead of having a hamster on the table, let's put abortion on the table. Do we take a vote? And if we vote that the majority of us say that abortion is okay, does that make abortion okay? What we say about the matter is irrelevant when there is an absolute truth. But every day in society, we're being handed statements that say there's no absolute truth in morality. Now, I don't know if many of you know this. You probably do. But Leah is a pro-life speaker, and she often goes into high schools and other places speaking about the issue of abortion. And in addition to that, she has videos posted on YouTube about this issue. Now, one of the statements that we often get as a kind of an attack against the videos is we'll see this statement: who are you to tell me what to do? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever had that said to them? Anybody ever said that? I know I have. Thank you for your honesty. Who are you to tell me what to do? Well, what are we saying when we're saying that? We're our own masters. Good. Yep. I define truth for myself, right? So you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to define truth for myself. Now, the problem with that statement is that as soon as somebody says to us, and I like to sometimes, you know, when Leah's in a bit of a, you know, pushy mood, or I'm in a bit of a pushy mood, we'll respond to these people on the videos, and they'll say, you know, it's wrong for you to tell other people what to do. And so I respond saying, so are you telling me that it's wrong for me to tell other people what's wrong for them to do? Do you see what they're doing? What are they doing? They're telling me what to do. And they're telling me that it's wrong for me to tell them what to do. But they're telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. And so you see, just like it's impossible to live in a physical world where there's no absolute truth. I mean, going to McDonald's and they say it comes to $4.50 and you give them a toonie and they say that's not enough money. And you say, well, that's enough money to me. I don't think you're going to get your hamburger. You're not going to get your hamburger because $2 is not enough money. And we live in a world of absolutes when it comes to money. We live in a world of absolutes when it comes to temperature, right? We might say it's hot in here or it's cold in here, but when we look on the dial and it says 72, we know that it's 72 degrees in this room. And I don't care what you feel about it, it's 72 degrees in the room. Okay, so when we come to this issue of morality and people are saying, what's true is what's true for me, I define morality for myself, it doesn't fly, because you have to have absolutes in the moral realm as well as in the physical realm. And everybody who tells you that you are just pushing your beliefs on them, make them understand that they're pushing their beliefs on you. Okay? So let's go back. And we already talked about this. Is it wrong for someone else to impose morals on someone else? So is it wrong for us to impose morals? If they're absolutely true, it's not wrong, right? It's actually, there's inability to function in a society. Leah just finished doing a book study in her English class on a book called Anthem. And it was written by Ayn Rand, who was kind of the pioneer for this whole what's true is what's true for you philosophy. And the discussions actually that came out of it from her whole class, and it wasn't just Leah, it was her whole class, they ended up deciding that it was impossible to live in the kind of society that Ayn Rand was trying to create, because you have to have moral absolutes, okay? So now let me ask you this question. If there are moral absolutes in society, who gets to decide? Who gets to decide what those moral absolutes should be? Who gets to decide that? Anybody have a guess? What's a good idea of what are some of the ways our society determines what morals should be? So I got the idea of government, right? So that's one source. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's a dictatorship, then the leader, right? A president. Well, usually presidents in a democratic society, and they probably vote. But what are some other ways that they determine it? Does anybody know how abortion became legal in Canada or in the United States? Those things probably were there, but what actually made abortion legal or got rid of all the abortion laws in Canada was a court case. So they have a court case, and then they have a Supreme Court, and then the judge decides this is right, this is not right. So that's some of the ways that our society tries to figure out what is true, what is right, what is wrong, and we take a vote. What's the problem with that? Okay, so people can be corrupt. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's subjective, right? If you're the one that determines truth, what does that make you? Like, if you determine truth for me, does that make you better than me? It would have to, right? If you're the one that determines truth for me, that means that you have to be better than me, because if you're not better than me, then I don't have to listen to your version of truth, because I define it for myself. So if we are all equal and we want to live in a society of equals, then none of us can determine truth for the other. So what's the only place that truth can come from? Somewhere outside of ourselves, and we know who he is. It's Jesus Christ. It is God himself who determines truth. But this is an issue that I want you to understand. You never have to apologize for having beliefs. You never have to apologize to anybody for believing that it's wrong to sleep around, for believing that sex should be safe for marriage, for believing that abortion is wrong, for believing that killing is wrong, for believing all of the things that the Bible teaches are true, because you actually have a source. Everybody out there who says that they don't believe in God, they have no source. And you can just go to them and just say, well, then I don't have to listen to anything that you say. Because if it's all relative, I don't accept your version of reality. And actually, I feel like killing you right now, because that will make my life a whole lot easier, because then I'll get the $50. No, you won't. Just a couple of last things to think about. Should we disbelieve everything that is presented to us as truth? Actually, before that, should we believe everything that is presented to us as truth? Yeah? No. Should we believe everything? No. I tell you that I'm a hamster. Should you believe that? No. I am part hamster. That's what makes me incredibly cute. But we shouldn't just believe everything that's presented to us. Likewise, though, should we disbelieve everything that's presented to us? Why? There should be absolute truth in the statement. There should be some rational reason to disbelieve something. Let me give you an example. Does this chair belong to anybody? Because I just stole someone's chair if it does. Okay, I give it back to Michelle. But let's just say that I live in a world where I believe in absolute truth. So I believe that when I sit down on this chair, it's going to support my weight. But let's just say that I live in a world of everything is relative. Well, then I don't even know that this chair is going to support my weight. So every time I go to sit down, I got to do one of these. Okay, it's going to work. So glad it worked this time. I'm so glad it worked because, you know, I can never be sure whether this chair is going to hold my weight. Now, if somebody was to do that on a regular basis, what would we call them? Insane? What was that? Pessimistic, but to the extreme, which is called insanity. Right? We can't live in a society where we're constantly disbelieving everything either. We have to have a time when we believe things. And we believe things when there's a rational reason for it. Nobody asked you to check your brain just because you're a Christian. As Christians, like I said at the beginning, we should be the best thinkers. And you don't have to be afraid when people say to you, well, how can you believe in God? You have to turn it back to them. And you have to say, how can you disbelieve in God? What proof do you have for the beginning of all these things that you see around you? What source do you have for any kind of morals? If this is all we have, if materialism is all we have, then there's no such thing as human rights. The only reason we have human rights is because we are created in the image of our Creator. That's in both the Canadian source of rights and in the U.S. source of rights. We have been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. So when people start to question you and your beliefs, never back off. Instead, you turn it around and you ask them what's the source for their beliefs, because they have them. It's just that they're not necessarily as honest about it as Christians are. Any questions about what I've talked about today? I'm going to get into it from a more practical perspective the next time I talk to you. And like I said, there will be a contest on the things that you learned today. And you will win, I guarantee it. But are there any questions? Because I want to start just to open your mind to these things. I want you to look around when you're seeing truth claims all around you and be able to discern that's relative, that's absolute. That's relative, that's absolute. When it comes to can I sleep around, that's an absolute truth question. And you can't determine that for yourself, and your society cannot determine for you. It's not a vote issue. We don't vote on that. When it comes to should I watch this TV program, there are certain truths that you can go by, but for a lot of it, it's just you and the Holy Spirit have to make that decision. Okay? So I just want to bless you guys to be those who walk in the truth. And I'm just going to pray quickly. So Holy Spirit, I just want to say thank you, because you have been given to us by the Father to guide us into all truth. I pray, Lord God, that we would be those who discern the truth with complete accuracy. I just want to pray for these youth who are here today. Youth, young people, old people, whoever's here. I just want to pray, Lord God, that you would enable us all to walk in truth, to be able to discern what we see with our eyes, to not buy into the world's view of things. I pray, Father God, that when messages come across our eyes, our ears, through songs, through media, through whatever it is, that we'd be able to discern truth. I pray, Lord God, that we would be students of your word, because your word is truth. You've promised, Lord God, that Jesus Christ, you are the revealer of truth, that your word is reliable, that when we walk in the power of your word, we will never be led astray. And so, Father God, I pray that our eyes would be open to any areas in our lives where we're walking in deception. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us to see the truth of who we are, beautiful, created in the image of God, so loved, so accepted in the beloved. And I pray, Father God, that we would stand by the truth, not only of who we are, but the truth of who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And we, Father God, we can go through our lives believing lies, or we can go through our life believing truth, walking on the firm foundation and becoming overcomers because we have the truth of God in our hand. So, Father God, I bless each of us to be able to walk in truth, to have the ability to bring truth to those around us, and to never be shaken. In Jesus' name, amen.